Good morning, this is Pastor Darren. We appreciate you tuning in to the Back to Bethel broadcast. Please remember our services at Bethel begin on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. This Sunday evening at 6 p.m., we welcome Kevin Street and his family who will be singing at Bethel. Hope to see you there.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we feel led to look in the book of Jeremiah, the 37th chapter this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 37. For sake of time, we'll just read two verses this morning, and we'll go back over and try to explain the background of these verses in a few moments. If you have your Bibles, please stand with me and turn to Jeremiah chapter 37, verse number 16. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is. For," said he, "thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." I feel like the Lord would have us focus on that question this morning. Is there any word from the Lord? Father, I pray now that you would help us as we stand this morning to preach the word, that Father, you would touch us spiritually, physically, emotionally. I pray, God, you would help us this morning to declare boldly the truths of God's word. Help us, Lord, that we might hear and be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God today. And Lord, I pray if there'd be one under the sound of my voice that does not know you in the pardon of sin, does not know you as Savior, that today would be the day they call on the name of Jesus and are saved. I pray the backslider would rededicate today and be reclaimed. And God, I pray you touch the church. Help us, God, I pray, on this first Sunday morning of the new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. About 3 months ago, in October, I had a terrible virus, some type of a cold virus, I suppose. Left my throat visibly swollen. Infection got into my eustachian tubes, back into my ears. Even though that virus cleared up in about 2 to 3 weeks, it still affected my hearing, and my hearing is impaired. Oftentimes, I've said a couple times a day where I talked to people this morning, said, "Huh? Excuse me?" And my hearing has not been right ever since I had that cold virus, if you will. And I thought about the message and the word of God this morning and where I had been sick. And I thought about this morning that if it is possible that a Christian could catch the common cold, the Bible said the love of many shall wax cold. It's just possible you could experience a common cold spiritually. And when that thing clears, it can leave your hearing weakened or impaired. When it comes to our spiritual ear, it's important this morning that we have good hearing. Isaiah said, "Hear the word of the Lord, give ear unto the law of the Lord." I wonder how many times God has spoken and I was not listening. I wonder how many times he said something specific to my heart or maybe to yours, but you were too occupied with other things. I believe one of the best things you could do is learn how and when to listen to God, and when every opportunity you get. You may be at the place this morning. You've come into the house of God today. And maybe you're here, and your question is there any word from the Lord? Oh, I need to hear the word of God. I have good news for you. There is a word from the Lord. First of all, I want to point out two things. First of all, it is a timely word. The writer of the Proverbs, Solomon, wrote in Proverbs 25, verse 11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." Understand what that means. It's a
right word at the right time. And God has the ability to meet you and speak to you just what you need to hear, just exactly when it is that you need to hear it. He has a timely word. Now, Jeremiah is one of the greatest prophets in all the Word of God. He's called the weeping prophet because his eyes were often filled with tears over the sinfulness of his nation. Oh, that this morning we had a Jeremiah to weep over our nation, a Jeremiah to prophesy, a Jeremiah to stand before our nation. As we look at our nation, certainly our nation, that King Zedekiah who asked that question, our nation ought to be asking, is there any word from the Lord? Look when this word came. It's a timely word. It came when it was a physical distressing time. What do you mean, preacher? Here's the background. Jeremiah and the land of Judah, they have been surrounded by Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah's been prophesying that the enemy would come, but they didn't believe him. Nonetheless, I want you to know, he kept preaching, kept prophesying. In the previous chapter, God told him to take a scroll and write on the scroll the word of God. He took that and it was presented before the king. And the king did not want to hear the word of God. He did not want to read the word of God. And he took a penknife and he cut it up into little pieces and he threw it in the fire. That's what he thought about the word of God. But ultimately, when he made the decision to destroy the word of God and cast it into the fire, it pronounced a judgment upon him and upon the people. For certainly, just as Jeremiah had said, Nebuchadnezzar came on in and invaded. And he took that king and carried him off into captivity. And he selected another young man to be a vassal king, a puppet king, if you will. It was a physically distressing time, but God has a word. I want you to notice that it was a spiritual disappointing time. Look in verse number 2. This new king that's come into office, neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. Can you imagine how that broke the heart of Jeremiah after just seeing the previous king who ignored and rejected the word of God, saw him carried off into captivity, and now the new king is even more callous than the old king who said, well, I don't believe that was really God. That's just circumstances working out that way. It must be fate. Leave it up to fate. Let me tell you something. It was a very spiritually disappointing time, and it's such as the day you and I live in. Jeremiah stood up and began to prophesy. Listen, the new king said this. He said, Jeremiah, you pray. He sent off to Egypt and he got Pharaoh and all of his armies to come back and push Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar away. And oh, how they celebrated. And they said, Jeremiah, how you like that? You said that Nebuchadnezzar would come, but now he's chosen to run. We have Pharaoh. We have Egypt who's helped us. You'll never get help from the world. It'll never happen. Jeremiah stood up and he said, listen, Egypt's going to leave you. They're going to shuck and they're going to run. Babylon's coming back. You better get ready. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. And let me tell you what they did. They locked him up in a prison cell and said, we're tired of your preaching. We don't want to hear your word of God anymore. Everything's peachy keen. Our wallets are full. We're blessed. Our health is good. We don't need one blessed thing. Now they've locked Jeremiah, the man of God, up in a jail cell. It is a spiritually disappointing time when our nation does not want to hear the truths of God's holy word. And all of a sudden, when Egypt tucked tail and run, and Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, the Chaldeans, came back into town, and they surrounded the land of Judah, Zedekiah said, uh-oh, I remember what Jeremiah said. He ran back down to the prison cell, called for him secretly, and got him out, and this is what he said. He said, hey, Jeremiah, man of God, is there any word from the Lord? Let me tell you what he's looking for. Give me some encouragement. Give me some good news. Tell me that God's going to do a miracle and get me out of this mess. Tell me it's going to be well with my soul. Speak peace to my heart, man of God. Is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah said, there is. But it may not be what you want to hear. You are getting ready to be carried off into captivity. But here's the good news. You can read more about this later if you want to. He said, if you will go ahead and surrender to the judgment of God, you'll live. But if you resist, you're going to die. You see, the word of God is always good. You may say, Preacher Darren, it's not good to go off into captivity. It was demanding, but God still worked it out where they could live. But they're going to reject it, going to try to work things out themselves. Please understand that though Jeremiah was in a prison cell, though the nation was sunk low, though it was physically distressing, though it was spiritually discouraging, is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is a word from the Lord. It is a timely word. I want to say to somebody this morning, you're already wondering, where on earth are we going with this thought today? God is going to meet you right where you are. And it may not be what you want to hear, but it is His word. Humble yourself and accept it. Number two, and I'll be done. I want you to know that is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there's a word from the Lord. It's a timely word. Number two, it's a truthful word. Now, the word from the Lord's important. He spoke peace and the winds and the waves were stilled. When he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes. When he spoke, the lame were made to walk. When he spoke, the blind were made to see. When he spoke, the deaf were made to hear. At the word of Jesus, lives have been transformed. Lives have been changed. Lives have been touched. Can I get a witness? When you got saved, was it not the word of God that found you in your lost condition, found you in your lowest moment, and gave you hope and brought redemption, brought salvation? Hey, that same word of God that was life-changing then is still life-changing this morning. Though it may not be what you want to hear, it's just exactly what you need to hear. Hey, man of God, is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is, in four areas. Number one, there is a word from the Lord for our country. The Bible still says in the Psalms, amen, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible still says in the Psalms, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Hear me, I've studied history. There has never been one nation that has fallen when it was right with God. Our problem is we will not hearken to God's word. I believe it was in spring of last year, 2014, that the Washington Monument was reopened after 3 years of repairs. That Washington Monument is 550 feet tall. It weighs over 90,000 tons. They closed it because of cracks in it. It was cracked some places 40 and 50 feet, maybe 18 inches deep or so. They said the thing is absolutely about to fall. So they closed it. They began to work on it. 3 years, $15 million later, the Washington Monument has just now been reopened. The cracks in that symbol of freedom are slight in comparison to the cracks in the moral and the social foundations of our nation. We are a cracked society. And the only thing that's going to fix it is Jesus Christ. The only thing that's going to fix it is the Word of God. I promise you, there's not one crack in the foundation of the Word of God. It is forever settled. Hey, heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. It will stand forever. America may say, is there a word from the Lord for air conditioning? Yes, there is a word from the Lord. We need to get back to the Word of God. We must repent. We must go back. Our nation, we need to bow down before the Lord. The answer is not government. The answer is the Lord God Almighty. Number two, there is a word from the Lord for the church. He told Simon Peter in Matthew 16, 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. If you want to point your finger for the reason of the moral breakdown of our family, if you want to point your finger at the reason the Supreme Court has made it legal to abort babies in the womb, if you want to find the reason that you would find little babies being thrown into garbage dumpsters, you don't need to look anywhere else but at the church. Preacher Darren, I don't want to hear that. I told you it's the word of God, not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. The church was supposed to be the light of the earth, light of the world, but it's not. The church was supposed to be the salt of the earth, but it's not. It's filled with corruption. It's filled with a bunch of dirty old birds that need to get right with God, ought to get faithful again to the reading of God's word, ought to get faithful again to praying like you ought to, ought to get faithful again to church attendance like you once had. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said, we have religion without the Holy Spirit. We have salvation without repentance. We have Christianity without Christ. We have heaven without hell. In other words, we're preaching what people want to hear instead of what they need to hear. The man of God said, there is a word from the Lord, and because of your disobedience, because of your rebellion, because you ignored God's word and warnings, you're going to be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Your nation is going to be gone into captivity because you have forgotten God. I'm telling you, our churches and our nation have forgotten God. We're ashamed to preach the gospel. We're ashamed to preach the blood. We're ashamed to talk about hell. All we want, Preacher Darren, I want to come to church. I was told this. I want to come to church and feel good about myself. I want to know the word of God, but I want to leave there feeling encouraged. Let me tell you something. The best, most encouraging thing that'll ever happen to you is get saved. The next thing you can, well, Preacher Darren, I'm already saved. Well, are you living like it? Well, that's a good question, right? Best thing that ever happened to you is to get right with God then. Confess your sins. The Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all your sins and of all your unrighteousness. He'll take care of that today. That's the best thing you'll ever do. I'm sure old Zedekiah said, well, I am right with God. I'm the king, ain't I? Let me tell you something. You're ignoring the truths of God's holy word, and it's killing our churches. The Bible still says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That promise is still true this morning. I love to hear Vance Havner. Vance Havner said this. Most of our churches are saying, well, God's last word to the church is, go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them, you know, the Great Commission. That's not God's last word to the church. Read the book. God's last word to the church is, repent or I'll take away your candlestick. Amen, Preacher Darren. It's time to wake up. I said it's time to wake up. Time to sound the alarm. Time to challenge. Time to comfort. Time to cheer. There's a word from the Lord for the church. What about for the Christian, to you individually? Barbara Bush made this statement. You know, it's not so much what's happening in the White House that's the problem. It's what's happening in your house. I think she knocked it out of the park, don't you? I give you a football analogy.
The horn sounded. It was halftime. The team come in to the locker room. They're very behind. They're defeated. They've got their heads down. They won't even look up. The coach came in, throwed a table over, went to yell at everybody. Didn't work. The assistant coach jumped up and gave his best encouragement talk. Didn't work either. Still had their heads down. Another assistant coach, one of the line coaches, said, "Fellas, you need to listen to coach. You listen, you need to listen, you need to listen." Their heads were down. They still wouldn't look up. They were defeated, and there was no way to come back. Coach did the unthinkable. He grabbed one of them's helmet, and he put it on, and he took off running through the locker room with his head down, and he ran headlong into the lockers. Wham! Knocked him back over. Jumped up, ripped his helmet off, blood running down from his nose. He said, "You know what y'all need to do? You need to get fired up. Get fired up. Get some blood in it. Get some skin in it. Get fired up." Man, that team got, they thought, "Lord God, if our coach will put a helmet on tackle lockers, well, that teammate got a chance." They come out in the second half, and they dusted them and beat them halfway to death. Let me tell you something, what's wrong with the church? We need to get fired up. Individuals need to get fired up. Lord God, if I'd get a helmet this morning and run through some lockers, maybe it'd fire you up. But the Word of God will do better than that, honey, if you let it sink through your soul. What I'm saying is you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't need to retire. You need to refire. If you're disgruntled, you need to cheer up. If you're discouraged, you need to look up. If you're lukewarm, you need to get fired up. And if you're a gossip, you ought to shut up. Jeremiah, this man of God, that's standing in this low point, said there's a word from God. There was a time just a few chapters before. He said, "I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. I'm going to quit preaching. I'm going to quit telling them about the Lord. I mean, it ain't doing no good. They ain't listening anyway. Nobody's fired up." But this is what he said. "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay. And I had to open my mouth and get the preaching one more time." You need to be fired up. There's a word for our country. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is for our country. Yes, there is for the church. Yes, there is for the Christian. Last of all, there is for the Christless. Preacher, dear, what do you mean? Maybe you're here this morning. You've accepted all the facts about Jesus. You just don't have a relationship with him. You're embarrassed to come down in front of everybody. You know good and well. You want to be saved. You need to be saved. You sit back in the back. You sit in that back section. You sit in the back in this lower section. You know you need to come to altar. You've known it for weeks. You've known it for weeks. Man, you've actually trembled. But you won't move. You know why? Because you worry, what are they going to think about me? Have you ever watched around here? Man, people getting this altar, they ain't ashamed of the Lord. I mean, we just rejoice together. I mean, we're liable to push a wheelbarrow around the building. We're liable to shout. We're liable to just fall. I don't know what in the world's liable to happen, but it'd be whatever the Lord tells you to do, just do it. But if you're here today and you ain't saved, I wouldn't be ashamed of that. You're in good company. You know, I was at church and I wasn't saved either. How about the rest of y'all? Did y'all ever go to church and wasn't saved? Everyone in this section is nodding their head. You ever went to church and you wasn't saved? Can I get a witness? Oh, but praise God. When you got saved and you come back, it's a different place, wasn't it? Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, if you're here this morning, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me." You can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You just need to open the door and let him in. You know, there's one time the Lord was talking to Samuel. I'm done right here. He's talking to Samuel. And finally, Samuel, this is what he said. He said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Whew. Man, that's run all through my soul all week long. Hey, is there a word from the Lord? There is. Could you see little Samuel? though Samuel sat there and he'd say, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. I want to do what you want me to do. Woo, that's running through my soul right now. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak. Oh, there's a word for you today. Oh, there's a word for you this morning. Oh, if you need to come this morning, if you're here, he has a word for you. Preacher Darren, I'm going through a sickness. I'm going through a layoff on my job. I'm going through a financial struggle. Is there a word from the Lord for me? There he is. Oh, he loves you. He cares for you. The Bible says that you can cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus. Folks are coming, altars filled up. There's room in the aisleway still. More room in the altar on the sides. Who needs to come? Boy, now's your time. Preacher, I need to be there. I'm glad there's been a word for me when I was in my low spot, when I was needing it. I'm glad there was a word for me. Who else needs to come? God bless y'all. Who else needs to come? Oh, I'm glad he has a word for me. I want to get on my knees and say, Lord, speak. Show me. Give me what I need. Folks still moving this morning. Anybody else? Does anybody here say, preacher, I'm Christless. I've never been saved. Preacher Darren, I want to be saved. Pray for me. Slip up your hand. Anybody? Father, this morning, we thank you for the privilege of serving Jesus. And Lord, I'm thankful this morning that you have a word for us. It's a word that's right on time. It's a word that's timely. It's a word that's truthful. Lord, it's met me in my lowest point. It's met me at my neediest time. Oh, I'm thankful this morning for the word of God that you've spoken to our heart. Now, Father, I pray that you'd bless this day. You'd help us, Father, as we begin this new year in the old-fashioned altar on our knees. May it be a year of service for you. May it be a time of dedication. May it be a time of separation. May it be a time this morning of claiming the promises of the Almighty God. Lord, I love you, and I thank you that you have a word for us this morning. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray, in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen and amen.